When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Warning, the following podcast contains less scrutinized Muppets, begrudging fake meat preparation, and discussion of two very important streets, Sesame and Gilman Street, the place where Green Day started out. All this, plus turmoil erupts as one of the hosts gets a new backpack. It's Sesame Place with Evan Susser on today's podcast, The Ride. Welcome to Podcast The Ride, a theme park podcast where four grown men talking about Sesame Street is somehow less strange than their normal topics of conversation. My name is Mike Carlson. Joining me as always, Jason Sheridan.
We've got two parents here.
It's normal. We're going to be saying today, the topics are normal today.
It is normal. I'm feeling very normal. Sesame Street is one of the pieces of media that I have no qualms with. It's untouchable.
It's
kind
of. Yeah. You still called it Streep.
I know, Sesame Street.
Besides that, you feel perfectly normal.
Well, look, I'm a little out of sorts. I had to run home. I forgot the microphone. I got a new backpack. I had not transferred
I mean, we shouldn't have even asked you to record.
I hadn't transferred the podcast bag into the new backpack yet.
Voice of Scott Gairdner giving Jason grief already before the introduction.
No, what do you mean? Once you explained
kind of the
that
antithesis
it was a new backpack,
of,
that changed everything.
I am good vibes about of the new, Sesame Street.
I am excited about the new backpack. I'd like to send our guest home and address the backpack for the rest of the episode, but that would be extra rude. So I won't do that.
It's up to, we'll bring him in on the backpack conversation.
But Sesame Streep is interesting. Is it a Meryl Streep, base Sesame Street?
The Prestige?
It's a Streep on the brain.
Does Topsy show up on Sesame Street? Is that what it is?
Well,
Topsy from Mary Poppins Returns, are one of our favorite characters in fiction? I don't know. Let's bring our guest in. He might know a little bit more about what we're talking about. You know him from Doughboys. He's the commissioner. He's a podcast rascal, I would say. Evan Susser is here, ladies and gentlemen. Returning to the podcast.
Welcome back. Happy to be here. Mm-hmm. Did you not introduce Scott?
Yeah, I did.
I started talking.
I said giving Jason grief, Scott Gairdner.
It's great to be here. Yay. Mike, I've seen you. Jason and Scott, I haven't seen you in about a year and a half.
So long. Not since Mike's party, the last party that ever happened.
Jason, I haven't seen you in a year and a half. I get up to do this podcast. You walk up to me very frazzled and ask, do you have a heart out?
That was what I was told. I was told to go out and ask him if he has a heart out. Well, I also directed you to the correct house.
Oh, yes. I was also trespassing
you were going
in somebody
the back
else's
door, the back gate of the wrong home.
So I know this is a lot of podcasts. This is the, we're explaining what we're doing, but we're back outside. We're outside again because of the new fucking thing. So we're being careful just in case. Yeah. So that just as Mike, also, as you were saying, it's oddly more normal that we're talking about Sesame Street. Let's add to it that we're doing it in the evening and that we will slowly be going from day to night.
Oh, that's true.
This will be an episode where it shifts and then it becomes a little Sesame Street after dark.
Oh, yeah.
If you're scared of the dark, one, I know a great place where they could teach you how not to be scared of the dark. And I know... I could tell you how to get there, too.
Okay. It's a place that teaches you that premise, that it teaches you to be not afraid of the dark.
Sesame Street teaches lots of lessons.
Sure.
I would assume in many decades
I'm sure
of
they've covered
production.
It. I'm with
probably,
Jason.
Yeah.
It's just not like an
and
iconic
then how to
one.
Get there. Surely.
How to get there is addressed in every episode.
Well, they're asking how to get there. It's not actually addressed how to get there, is it? Because you don't really know, other than at the theme park.
Yeah.
Can you tell me? That's a question that's always unanswered as far as Sesame Street is concerned.
That's a good point.
That is, yeah.
I'm very happy to be here. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed the podcast over the pandemic, even though we weren't together. It was a way for me to feel like I was together with you guys. Mm-hmm. I was telling you guys, Lamar's episode I just listened to was so funny. Mm-hmm. All those stories. And I will say, as is my wont, I pretty unapologetically campaigned to do this episode, mm-hmm. and was insistent and pushy about doing the episode, and I'm glad that you guys finally gave in.
And not enough, apparently, because I think it was... I don't know. I want to say it was in my brain somewhere, but because you had texted almost like a little coy, like, "Oh yeah, I was just asking because I'm going to Sesame Place. I'm going to be going to Sesame Place." Yeah. And oh, you know, it's because I went to Sesame Place, and then it eventually took you saying, "So you're going to have me on for Sesame Place?"
Yeah, I think I mentioned it. We should probably get into. I was living on the East Coast for a year during the pandemic, mm-hmm. and while I was there and things were kind of starting to look better with COVID, it was kind of feeling like, oh, that would be a fun thing to do at some point, to go to Sesame Place. And I think I texted you guys and said, have you ever, you know, done it? Like, I might do it. I'm close. I've got an opportunity. And, you know, kind of hinting there. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you guys had told me, we'll do an episode with you if you do it, maybe that would have been the push, but then you didn't say that. Then I went to Sesame Place. I sent some pictures. Got tepid, nice reaction, but not. Oh, make sure to do some research. And then I finally just had to get back and be like, okay, when are we doing this?
Yeah, well, we apologize for that. You know, we should have picked up on the hints.
I think signal reading, it's, you know, like, I don't know. None of us have had to, like, date new in a little while. Maybe we're not good at picking up. And, like, I feel like even when I was dating, I needed just, like, clear, like no, I like you, let's do it. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go back. So I kind of appreciated the just forward nature of it.
Yeah, I think it's safe to assume we're three men who really appreciated if a woman made the first move.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
That's my entire dating career. I wouldn't even think to.
That's right, yes. Yes, I usually would like go like somebody being like, well, what is this? Are we going to kiss or something? Like it would be an angry female who's like, do you like me or what? Uh-huh. What is it? So
I think the words "can I?" I think permission was asked before kisses
of the parents.
handwritten letters.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of reasons why I think this might be a positive momentum for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Our generation, I feel like, was told, like, don't ever ask permission for that. Like, in high school and college, like, don't ask. Just kiss. And now, I think more appropriately, people are like, don't ask, don't do that. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And now I feel so much better. Just fucking aggro morons I grew up with. Like, this was like a thing.
Well,
this
Jason, I mean, it is crazy how quickly culture moves. I mean, I was just thinking about, you know, that book, The Game, that, like, you know, with, like, mystery
yeah.
and all that.
Yeah.
That was like a bestseller, like, 10 years ago.
You're right.
Like,
right.
Not even that long ago in our lifetime, which was a lot of that, like, really, really gross, like, kind of.
Well, it was like be mean.
And yeah, also, like, you know, just like make a move and see what happens. And
so Jason was talking about mystery when he was saying a guy who told him it was mystery.
Yeah, it was mystery. Via Neil Strauss, the great ghostwriter of our time.
Yeah, you were hanging out at the Saddle Ranch every weekend. And
I go back and forth, Universal City during the week, West Hollywood on the weekends when it gets real wild.
You and Toby, David Blaine, Leonardo DiCaprio.
All the greats. Yeah,
you know the name of the group.
Well, yeah, you were the one that said maybe we should rename it. So you've kind of been a progressive voice.
The progress posse.
Yeah. The nice guys. The nice fellas. Mm-hmm.
The alliteration was good, though. You should have kept it.
Can I say something else about, like, culture changing and everything? In thinking about Sesame Street, and Sesame Street's been more of a presence in my life because now I have a kid and he watches it, and it's taken me back to, like, oh, it's still good. It's great. Like, I do not mind watching it ever. And I feel like, you know, in the interim, watched it as kids, now watching it with a kid. And in the interim, there was just decades of god-awful comedy that was all about,
like, hey, what if Ernie and Bert were gay? They're gay, yeah. And that's mm-hmm. the thing about them is that they are gay.
That's the joke.
Sesame Street doesn't yeah. want you to know. Yeah. Like, how much garbage did we have to sit through as if, like, that is a problem, them being just, like, it was just one of those, like, extremely obvious beat into the ground.
Yeah.
For to no end, like, the end. There's no further point to that. It's just the worst.
There's another type of joke that annoys me. With the basic premise of, like, what if the thing you liked that was for kids is dark and fucked up? And it's yeah. like, mm-hmm. it's still that genre is still around. I've seen it.
That's still around. But it's also evolved into, like, what if that thing you liked as kids came back?
Well, that's,
yeah. And it's worse.
That's a different issue. I'm speaking yeah. specifically about, like, yeah, trying to, like, distort it or
yeah, like the version that I always, which I don't even know what this is, if this is a show or like a screenplay that didn't get made. It's just like the Peanuts all grown up.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about, and that's exactly what was in my head.
I can think of like three different versions of that.
Yes, yeah, so it's like, and then Linus tried to kill himself, yeah. and you're like, okay, all right, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
what is this? What is the point of this?
But I agree with the very, I guess, basic take that Sesame Street, good. It was good when we were kids. Yep. It's good now.
And it doesn't really have the... What's interesting is they're all Muppets. Sesame Street are Muppets, but they don't have the scrutiny of the Muppets. People go crazy about the Muppets and this and that, and what's the, like, what's right for the Muppet. And then Sesame
and if they're
going
to come back, what is it going to be? And yeah, there's never more pressure on every move of the Muppets.
Right.
But Sesame Street just going, and we don't even know what
the key is that it's been for it, it doesn't get rebooted. It just has existed
right.
and evolved and changed over time and had to. I mean, now, Scott, maybe you know this. I don't know if you guys know this about why Snuffleupagus is not on Sesame Street.
Oh, right.
What?
Well, that's darkness creeping
yeah, so
into the world.
This is a little bit of darkness.
So
if you guys remember Snuffleupagus, which I did not remember this, the whole thing with Snuffleupagus was only kids saw him.
Yes,
and the
yes.
joke was, or the, you know, the game or whatever is, he would always be gone when the adults came back.
Right.
And kids would be like, no, Snuffleupagus was here. Snuffleupagus was here. And the adults would be like, no, there's no Snuffleupagus.
We don't believe you.
We don't believe you.
Gaslighting.
Can you
kids.
Guess where this is going?
I'm a little concerned.
And then
yeah.
child psychologists approached Sesame Street and said, this is not a good lesson to be teaching children, that if something, you know, crazy is happening and they go to an adult and adults won't believe them. So they had to get rid. So there was a big thing on Sesame Street where all the adults finally saw Snuffleupagus. But then when they did that, it was kind of like, well, what do we do now with this giant? That was the whole thing, kind of.
Well, but there is a. I think he's still kind of around because there's a photo op at Sesame.
Yes, he still kind of is around, but he's much, much. Like, if you're watching, Scott, I wouldn't be surprised if you haven't seen.
No, yeah. I don't
he's
think
he's not
so.
Like a regular part of the show because they kind of...
They diminished his role. Yeah.
Because that was his whole thing.
And newer characters that they're kind of more
into. And also newer characters
anyway.
That they incorporate.
Your Abby Cadabbies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had forgotten. I remember when Abby Cadabby... Kind of remember when that character was introduced. But, like, that was well after our time. I thought Elmo was more recent, but Elmo was in 1980. It just... Elmo had that giant burst in popularity with the Tickle Me Elmo when we were, like, just past the age
Elmo
of
took
Sesame
a,
Street.
He took a while to find his voice
yes.
as a character.
That's sure.
Yes, but he was around.
Yeah. Right. yeah. The design of the character.
We covered a little of this on the second gate because I went to another separate Sesame Street place. But we were also, like, if you've been watching it a lot, I got to ask this again. Yeah. Elmo's World. I like Elmo's World.
Yeah.
I love the song. I love both songs. My son's obsessed with the beginning song and the end song. Mr. Noodle drives me up the wall. I like just snip it out. Why does this happen? Why does a rouge faced mime man or multiple of them?
Now, well, it's a Noodle extended family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm so relieved when it's the dog.
Yeah.
When it's Schmoodle,
uh-huh.
because there's just less, like a broad, insane faces that a dog can make.
And yeah, and I'll say my daughter doesn't seem to really care for Mr. Noodle.
No, I don't
either,
think, yeah.
But they're committed to it.
Yeah.
It's a misfire. I don't know exactly what they're going for. Maybe nonverbal communication. or something like that. But
physical comedy, I guess, yeah. And that works without a lot of explanation. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he scares me.
Yes.
If he scares me, maybe he would scare a child. Although I'm scared by a lot of things that a child is not. So
I am happy. I had heard rumors. You know, because me and Scott have this thing of watching Sesame Street again after not watching it.
Yeah.
I had heard that Cookie Monster didn't like cookies anymore.
Oh, that
I
was heard a that big, rumor like, too, yes.
PC and talk show monologue
happy
point.
To report, he likes them just fine.
I haven't verbalized this. I felt the same way. I know what's up with Sesame Street. They're not doing the cookies anymore. Not true. It's
yeah,
great.
Not true at all. He loves them. He eats way too many of them. It's great.
He just occasionally would tell children, like, try eating something else sometimes.
Yes. I think that...
And I haven't learned that last time.
Yeah. So Cookie Monster is still like... And also, too, I think he's also... He does. He's become a bit of a foodie too, which is also.
Yeah,
he's got the truck.
Yeah, he has the food truck.
Who's the helper?
Gonger.
Gonger
is the name of the helper.
Oh, I like that.
Who's a great character?
I don't know. Gonger.
They do recipes for like good sounding food with fresh ingredients. You're watching like good meals get cooked, and they go talk to like the guy who's sourcing the ingredients. I'm enthusiastic about all of this.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Gonger looks awesome.
Yeah, Gonger's cool. Gonger's in the park. Gonger's in Sesame Place.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen him. He's a chef.
Should we get into talking about
Let's
Sesame Place?
Let's get into the place. Yeah. Open 1980, I believe. And now, did you... I forget. You grew up... Well, where? In that general region?
I grew up in Maryland, so pretty close to Sesame, like very close to Sesame, like 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We went a bunch of times when I was a kid. When the first time we went with my younger brother, who was like 2.5 when we went for the first time. And after the day, my parents always remember this, so he said, after thinking like, this was the best day of my life. And yeah, we loved it. I mean, it's they have a lot of, like, they have the characters. It's like, it's not like Disneyland or Universal, but it's a little bit more than just a completely janky amusement park.
Yeah.
It's somewhere kind of in between, and they have a big water park section, which is like that you can enjoy even as you get older.
Sure.
But the characters are all there. They have rides. They have like kind of games.
Right.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
And the street.
And the street.
That's
very
the street.
Important
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the place castle in
fiction you want to be.
It does have the street, Siri. I assure you.
Yes.
I grew up like 40 minutes from Sesame Place.
Oh, okay.
And I remember going a couple times as a kid. It's Sesame Place in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I grew up in Delaware County, and it's just kind of on the other, just a little north of where I grew up. And I only had very faint memories of it. I think we went like once when me and my brother were both very little. And then we went again when I would have been like 9 or 10. And it's one of the few theme park experiences I remember ever having. I still had a great time, but it's one of the few times I remember going like, I might be a little too old for that. Because like at 9 or 10, you're towering over like a lot of the other, even a short Jason was towering over a lot of kids. And at the time, Sesame Place was only like 3 or 4 acres. And now it's kind of... quadrupled in size, where it was like back then it was mostly water park, and my dad reminded me there was a big like a huge jungle gym netting kind of climbing area. And now it's like kind of split between water park and then like there's 2 roller coasters, there's a bunch of flat rides, you know, kiddie rides. And it's really kind of grown quite a bit.
On that point of like feeling too old for it, I think I saw the tagline, go before you grow.
Go before they grow.
They grow.
And I almost started bawling. Like, I almost was like, oh, God.
Yeah, really, tugging on the heartstrings.
There's other stuff in this where in this park where I'm like, that's so nice. That's so kind.
But I guess they are, like, they're not, other theme parks are more like, okay, we have to advance them to the next thing, and what do you like when you're a teen, and what do you like when you're an adult, and I guess Sesame Place just counts on, well, maybe you loop back around. That's when we get you again, is when you're taking kids.
Yeah. No, truly, and take them before they grow or whatever, I'll say that, you know, my wife and I, who both grew up going to Sesame Place, you know, it was something that we talked about, like, oh, that'll be fun to go with our daughter. Then this freaking pandemic happened, and we're also, I don't know if you guys know Kenny Stevenson. He, you know, he's got kids too, and he told me, you know, we talked about Sesame Street, and he was like, yeah, kids love Sesame Street. And then, like, right about when they're 3 and a half, they're kind of like done with it. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and the pandemic's going on, and we're like, we're gonna run it. We're right here on the East Coast. We gotta get to this place. we're gonna you know,
we're running out of time.
Like, the biggest loss of the pandemic is we might not get to go to Sesame Place.
Well, if you can hold out till 2022, Sesame Place San Diego is coming.
Yes. Well, we knew that was happening too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we were looking forward to that, but then we decided to when we were. You know, Jamie and I got fully vaccinated. Cases were relatively low, and we were like, you know what? A lot of it's outside, so we went. We, you know, went with our daughter to Sesame Place, so we got that experience in, which was great.
That's great.
That's great. Yeah, I know what you mean. The clock ticking. When I did this, so there's Sesame Street stuff in SeaWorld, and I sort of like, yeah, we set a date to do it partially because, well, things seem kind of clear pandemic wise for the moment, and also, like, what if he doesn't like Elmo next month?
Yeah,
these things are pretty, and already it's less. It's definitely less even than then.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we.
And I mean, it just
again.
Is crazy with a kid when, like, they start watching Sesame Street, and you're like, how would you like to, like, go to real Sesame Street? What do you think of that? It's like a mind-blowing concept for a kid.
Well, so you got to have that, because my son's not speaking yet, so you got to communicate
this.
Yes,
we got to talk, like, and, like, how would you like to, like, meet Elmo? Would you like to meet Elmo? Is that something that you'd be impressed with your dad if he arranged that? Like, well, you know, like, maybe... Might be the kind of thing I'm able to arrange.
Give the guild a little ring, see what you can get done,
exactly.
You know?
So,
how'd it play out?
So, well, it played out well. So we got there, and right away, the funny thing about Sesame Place is you can do, like, everything there. It's like the park was open to, like, 10 to 5, and we were like, ooh, is that going to be, like, enough time? And... like, yeah, we have enough time to do everything there. So we get there, and right away we're like, oh, like, there's a parade at 10:30. That's, like, a good thing to do. We'll see everybody. And we're like, we are running in because we drove in from, you know, D.C., like, that morning to, like, Philadelphia. It's like a 2.5-hour drive, and we're, like, parking, and, like, we got to get good spot for the parade. And then we get there, we're like, where is the parade happening? Like, no one, it's like the smallest, like, there was it was not very crowded. So we just get a good spot, and they called it the mini parade. And I don't know, a big theme of the whole trip was, is this because of COVID or is this just always how it is? So it was a small parade with, which some of this is good because it's kind of overwhelming, but it's like Bert and Ernie, Elmo, Cook, Oscar and Cookie Monster, and that was it for the parade.
Oh.
And, like, three floats, and that's what it was, which, you know, it was, like, exciting, but even, like, Abby, who's, like, one of her favorite, and I was like, oh, there's not Abby. There's, like, not Big Bird.
Oh, wow.
In fact, spoiler, no Big Bird the entire...
What?
What do you mean? How,
like, represented with, like... You know, pictures and stuff.
Signs, yeah.
But so.
Did, like, the tall person call in sick?
I guess. That could be. Or I thought, you know, we went on a weekday, or because of COVID, maybe it's like, like, the Big Bird costume's more of an ordeal. We don't do that, you know?
Uh huh. Did
and
you
then
ask?
We did,
by
we,
the way?
What?
Did you ask? Like, is Big Bird
around?
We should
have asked about Big Bird, but we did not. And then we did a meet and greet with Elmo, which, unfortunately, because of COVID, they don't actually get to touch and interact, right. So you kind of, like, stand. But then it was nice because when we went to the meet and greet, it was Elmo and Abby was there.
Oh.
And then my daughter was very sweet, like, you weren't at the parade. Like, we were looking for you, which is nice. And then Julia, who's a newer character.
I don't know Julia.
She's an autistic character, the first autistic Muppet. So that's a nice... thing that they have. And then the big thing, which was, they had Cookie Monster's foodie truck at Sesame Place.
Okay.
Which we were building up. It seemed really exciting. It also was like, oh, this is like, you know, being worried about indoor or outdoor dining. Like, oh, that's outdoor. It's a food truck. That'll be great. But then on the drive up, our daughter was like, oh, great. And then, like, Cookie Monster, like, will serve me the food. And we're like, oh, that can't be how it works, you know? It's just going to be a guy.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, the food truck was closed the whole time we were there. So there was a lot of that kind of stuff of, like, building up and expectations, but still good. And a lot of, we tried doing the rides because they have a lot of rides there, but.
Well, very off the shelf, but, like, nicely decorated with Sesame Street stuff.
Yeah. But the rides, all of them, my daughter was just like, this is not my favorite. And so, I mean, she, like me, you know, my wife is much more, she's like, oh, maybe she'll like, they have roller coasters. Maybe she'll want to do the roller coaster. I'm like, are you insane? She's 2.5. Our daughter, like, you're getting like, cause I, like you guys, I'm scared of rides. And even like, we did like their version of like the teacups. Which our daughter hated, and I hated. Like, I don't like...
Really? Even the teacups?
You didn't like the teacups. Disco Grover teacups?
Actually the... hold on.
That's okay. Is the disco...
Monster mix-up.
The monster... Oh, and yeah. But it's the same situation where you can turn it in the car. But did you just not turn it?
Yeah. Jamie, my wife, was trying to turn it, and I, like... push your hand on it. We don't like it. We don't like that.
So yeah, so there's like a lack of like I think the most expensive Sesame Street ride is in Japan, right? Or
Aventura in Spain, I think.
Are you talking about the spaghetti?
I'm talking about spaghetti.
Oh, you're talking about spaghetti.
Is that in Universal Japan?
Is that in Singapore?
It might be Singapore,
I think.
Yeah.
What is the ride?
It's a dark ride where Grover like goes into space and sees monsters and like you're like kind of it's like E.T. Adventure a little
spaghetti
bit.
Spaghetti space chase.
It's
Universal Singapore.
I would love them to have some good dark rides, but they don't.
There's a dark ride in Spain. I believe.
Okay.
Too.
So yeah, it is interesting that like the thing I think you're talking about, you want something like that.
Yes.
That's
would
like
be great.
Not thrill based, but there's a lot of stuff and robots and
right,
things to look at.
Right, cuz basically they kind of have like state fair kind of rides with like Sesame Street branding.
Right, exactly.
On it.
Sure.
Which some of that stuff, you know, I said I can't say a bad word about Sesame Street the show. Sesame Place, there are some criticisms I could give.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
Oh, please, because it's not a given. Like, you know, like, I understand that, like, well, this will be enough for a kid. The kid will like it. But maybe you're attesting that, like, maybe your daughter, like, it's, I don't know. They'd take more, too.
Yes.
They would happily accept
more.
Well,
one huge thing, my big complaint, is the gift shop, which, you know, I would love to have gone nuts in this gift shop.
Yeah.
But they just sell stuff that you could, like, buy online.
Yeah.
Just, like, normal Sesame Street stuff. So that's a small thing, but come on. Like, it was, I finally found, like, a shirt that said Sesame Place itself versus just... So that was
general.
That was one.
I have a piece of merch. If we're talking about merch, this was again in the SeaWorld San Diego thing that I saw, and maybe you ran into this too. This might be at multiple locations. Sesame Place, by the way, owned by it's in the SeaWorld umbrella, there is some crossover and some of the same stuff, which maybe could include this shirt, which has the count on it, and the shirt he's doing a very particular move, and the shirt says Count Dabula.
yeah, there's some attempts.
That's good, though.
That's good.
But he's not Dracula, though.
he's in the family, Dabula.
He's Dabula.
Count Dabula is good. If you saw Count Dabula, would you have gotten it?
Yeah.
Wow. They were not the first outlet to think of Count Dabula t-shirts. I'm finding out very quickly.
Is it the counter? Is it actually Dracula? Jason?
What's that?
Is it the Count specifically, or is it actually Dracula?
Oh, no. It's a lot of generic-looking Draculas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
But nobody's made the move to make Count Dabula into a feature film, which is what I think should be the ultimate.
As soon as this is now in the universe,
now
it's going to happen. Yeah, for sure.
One of the most popular shirts is now a major motion picture.
And a streaming series.
The viral shirt is now a hit movie.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
No, file that away. Yeah, you're a screenwriter. I can see the light bulb going off. It's nice to see the creation process.
Martin Scorsese criticizes the viral shirt.
Folks, Michael here. Eating well is hard sometimes, but that's where Factor Meals comes in. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. They've got 35 different options to choose from each week. So what are you waiting for? Get started today. Get after your goals. I've been getting after my goals. I had some creamy Parmesan chicken. It was delicious. I made it and I felt smart for doing it. A great thing about Factor is that it's flexible for your schedule. You get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Head to factormeals.com/podcastride50 and use code podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code podcastride50 at factormeals.com/podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Do it.
And the street itself is great. It feels like, you know, that, like you were saying, Scott, like, as good as it is, like, you could imagine that being even better.
Sure.
Like, you could have, like, more fun with, well, like, actual Sesame Street. You could have, like, characters kind of, like, honestly, what they do at Universal with, like, the Italian-American
couple. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you had that with, like, Sesame Street characters, that would be
you want them to, like, roast you as you're walking down Sesame Street.
Right. Oscar popped up and said mean things.
Right.
That'd be, what a thrill. Oh,
that'd
hey, look
great.
At those dumb shoes you're wearing. Uh-huh.
There is a trash can shoes. That you can, like, touch a button. And it's like, hey, leave me alone. That's kind of fun.
That's cool.
But he doesn't pop out.
He doesn't pop out.
Mm.
Well, Oscar has a roller coaster.
Yes, he does.
And Oscar also has a garage. There's like a facade that says Oscar's garage. So Oscar has a lot of business ventures going in this park.
Oscar is very all over the place.
Yeah. Living in a trash can, yeah, he gets a lot done. Yeah,
they don't even have like a donkey, like a donkey Universal, like waffle cart with Oscar.
They don't have that. They really
well. Should. Here's something I know from a little looking into retro Sesame places that they did have this at a certain point.
Okay.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it was, I think somewhere in an early contract it was stipulated that you could not have representations of the characters without the real voices. They wanted this to be consistent. So there was an Oscar and a, what was the other one? A Cookie Monster. Mm. And they were animatronics. They were simple animatronics with the real voices. And they, like, you look at photos, they're like cool in early 80s and analog. I don't know why you would have that and then stop doing it.
That seems confusing.
Because to see, as with any of the Muppet attractions, seeing like, well, this is how they look on TV. They don't even have to change mediums. That just is Cookie Monster there. That'd be really cool.
It feels like you could like make more money getting rid of all the rides and just making the street amazing.
I agree with that. And, you know, in the things like the shows, some of them, like the meet and greet, they're just waving. Obviously, they're not talking.
Yeah.
But then some of the shows, they do have, you know, they're like lip syncing to like recorded. And that like blew my daughter's mind. Uh-huh. Being like, whoa, they're like here, like they're talking. And this is great.
Well, now, so, what were those? Because we got to, and I said a lot of this in the second game, but I went to something called the Furry Friends Dance Party, which I believe is there too.
We also did the Furry Friends Dance Party.
All right. Wow.
And my daughter, I think I sent Mike a video of it. I mean, she just was so excited to be there. It was like, you know, entering Studio 54 as height for her. Slightly less cocaine, but
just for the parents.
Yeah, but she loved that. So that was really good. There was the Magic of Art, which was a little bit of like a story kind of show that had like some humans and like learning a lesson. And like my daughter like will sing the song from that show, like even now, which is crazy.
Wow.
Like
wow.
She like, really made an impression.
Oh, that's cool.
Is there an Elmo the Musical?
There's
experience.
Not an Elmo the Musical. Was that in SeaWorld?
No, there wasn't. I think there was or has been.
Yeah,
because that's like also a recurring Elmo thing that he makes it musicals and there is a curtain flap that speaks. I think
that would have been a hit.
I don't know. I think they may have done that.
I was trying to find evidence of moves like Bert the parody. Do you have it?
I got you covered.
All right, thank you.
This was did you catch the song Moves Like Bert?
We did not get Moves Like Bert. We got the Elmo slide.
I really like the Elmo stuff.
Yeah,
well, yeah, it's like an earworm for sure.
Yeah, that's one of those. It's been kicking around, and then like out of nowhere, you're just like doing the dishes, and then
And when you're at this place, we probably heard the Elmo slide like 30 times.
That was in the show. We just like turned to each other one day out of nowhere, like, I think I like the Elmo slime. Yeah, no, I think that's not. I think I'm not laughing at it. I think I just like it. Let me do a little hit of, because this was a song that I got in my Furry Friends dance party, referenced on the second gate, but I think it merits a clip. If this is too quiet, drop in something later.
That's fantastic. I'm very disappointed that that was not a part of.
Yes. Is that the video from Sesame Street Live?
I think it was, yeah, that version is from, I think this is from a live tour that went around.
Yes.
And by the way, after this, goes a couple other characters get rounds, including, I think, a very, overlooked character at this point, Telly
Monster.
Yeah.
One of my childhood favorites, Telly Monster.
I think Telly's like being phased out. As well.
Wow,
too.
Did Telly, is something wrong with Telly's relationship?
No,
with
I think just Telly. You know, just not connecting.
Oh, man.
You know what I like? That song and then this shop, Trader Burt's. This park really showing Bert letting his hair down a little,
you know,
finally
yeah.
relaxing a bit.
Lindsay really brought. I sent Lindsay moves like Bert. And she said, why isn't it moves like Ernie? There's two syllables.
Doesn't he have enough? Doesn't he get enough?
First of all,
enough?
I disagree
I like
with
that,
that
point.
Concept.
That point.
Ernie never could have enough. But Ernie, two syllables, moves like Jagger.
And also, who would you think has the moves?
Right. It's funnier. It's a comedic. It's a funnier comedic setup with Bert. I guess that's why it's what's happening. But
Ernie, is it maybe Bert and Jagger have that in common? There's that slight symmetry.
Jagger. Yeah, maybe. So moves like Telly is fun too. I'm glad Telly had some representation there.
I just liked having, I don't know, maybe it's the kid situation brings this out of me. I think I've been hard on Jack FM type music. What with the Mad Tea Party fiasco?
Yes,
and I just want to say that in terms of like theme park entertainment from songs within the last 20 years, from vaguely contemporary songs, moves like Bert melted my icy heart.
Wow.
Particular topic.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine a parody sung by Bert that you wouldn't like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
funny singing voice.
He's got a funny singing voice. He's a lovable character.
Yeah.
Let me ask real quick. Yeah. Everybody Bert or Ernie as far as their favorite as a child?
Ernie, no
After
question.
All that, it's Ernie. I'm
Ernie,
there,
yeah, Ernie. Jason?
It was probably Ernie. I think I had stuffed animals of both. Now, I think.
Well, we know
now. As we're talking about this, I'm concerned that, like, as a child, I just absorbed all this through osmosis, and my personality is just a combination of Cookie Monster, Oscar the Grouch, and parts of Bert and Ernie. A little bit of Ernie in there, but a lot of Bert.
Yeah, maybe Ernie like 10 years ago, as far as I know you. Like, Ernie's gone, I think.
Do any of
you had in his 20s, he had Ernie.
Yeah, in your 20s, I remember Ernie inside. But now I think it's just Bert.
Oh, man. What?
That's the most hurt Jason's ever been on the show.
Working together this long has led to that?
Yeah, I did it.
You beat it out of me?
I beat the Ernie out of you all these years. My Ernie antics have beat the Ernie out of you. Only Bert remains. Ernie's. I always get bummed that Ernie's not more popular these days.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, his zany antics, it fit better in the couple decades where he was at the top. I don't know. Almost not as zany, I don't think. Like, he's not as much of an anarchist as Ernie was. That's like Ernie. I think is also like a holdover from your Bugs Bunny, like. He just comes into the situation and tears shit up. The Cat in the Hat's the same way.
Yeah.
It's like young kids these days, they don't like that as much. They don't.
Right.
That's not as fun.
And I think Elmo kind of elbowed in a little bit, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, with, like, you know, as far as being a wild. What's interesting about Elmo is he's wild, but you kind of get the sense he doesn't know better.
Yeah, right.
The funny and maybe bad thing about Ernie is he knows.
he knows.
Yeah. He knows. The thing where he gets the sheep to carry Bert's bed out of, we've all seen the segment, right? There's one where Ernie's, I'm trying to think, it's Shuffle Off to Buffalo or something. He's doing like a song.
Great song.
And he keeps he keeps like messing with Bert. He's like playing a saxophone, and then he has like sheep come in and they carry Bert's bed outside. And the thing ends, the little segment ends, Bert outside at night and he can't get in, and he's trying to go, like, Ernie has kept him outside of their bedroom at night. And like, that's it. It's over. And you're even as a kid, you're like, Bert has to sleep outside? That is kind of mean. Like, okay.
Right. I did find, even though Ernie was my favorite, like, I liked him more than, maybe my favorite period, and definitely liked him more than Bert, he would sometimes do things like Bugs Bunny that would make me uncomfortable.
Mm, sure.
So, you know, I think that I can understand maybe.
He would tell you just to go for the kiss and don't ask. Right. He was often giving you that advice. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I liked Ernie. He was so much fun. I liked both Ernie and Bert. I had both Ernie and Bert dolls, and I was pretty obsessed with them for a couple of years. By the way, real quick, sorry. No. I have this Ernie doll in my bedroom now, mm-hmm. and it is terrifying. It's from when I was little, like one, and I have it, and he's in his like pajamas. His crotch is ripped open. I think I've talked about this before. His stuffing is coming out. His hair is crawling out.
I think we don't need to explore
that. That's not
too
dirty.
Much
There's nothing dirty there. It's just because the thing wasn't made very well. His hair is falling out. His like
it's a connective point. That's
yes,
all.
His mouth is like gone. The like little like piece of felt that was his mouth is gone.
So you have like a portrait of Dorian Gray kind of Ernie doll that just falls apart and you stay youthful?
Like Robert the doll. The evil doll. Like I have the Ernie doll. Version of like the living doll that was Chucky was based on. Yes, I have it still in the apartment. So I'll post a photo of Ernie. Anyway, sorry, you were saying, Scott.
I think that is there a little bit of a slide with Bert and Ernie because you no longer have the originals doing it?
Yeah,
because that's like
100%. Yes, 100%.
Oz.
Right.
Like, unfortunately, and I think a lot of the characters have maintained and bounced back and changed hands successfully. But that one, I mean, those are just such classic sketches, and they just had such a rhythm as they did with Kermit and Piggy. And that's an unfortunate fallout of
ask, is that kind of the same with Grover? Is the same?
I don't
person
know.
Doing
yeah,
I feel like Grover has faded back.
Grover is around? Pretty minimized.
But he's around more than I thought. This was the thing I was
not
bemoaning.
Like Telly, not like some of these other ones, and maybe even more than. Honestly, maybe even more than Bert and Ernie. But really, the show is Elmo and Abby are like the stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cookie Monster, I would say, third lead.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Really?
Pretty
and
good.
And which is nice. I'm glad he's so represented. And then just like celebrities from shows that film in New York.
Yes.
It's a lot of,
Law and Order.
And Ellie Kemper and Michael Che. And
then it kind of rotates in. It's like, oh, this one you'll have Bert and Ernie. This one you'll have Gonger.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like Zoe, Rosita, like newer characters.
I did think, reading about the roller coasters, because the Super Grover coaster is a metal steel coaster.
Yeah,
and I was good. Like, is that for the millennial parents? Is that for the older folks?
Oh, so Grover almost reads as a retro reference in a way.
I get he's still around and stuff. But I just remember being a big Grover kid.
Me
in
too.
Like the 80s, late 80s. Yeah.
Yeah. Monster at the end of this book.
I have a special bond with Grover because I had a lot of like action figures as a kid, and I loved playing with them. And really, the only time I ever remember being punished by my parents, I broke a cabinet by hanging on it like repeatedly after they told me not to, and they took away all of my action figures for, I think it was a year. It was probably 3 days, but it felt like a year. And I think after 12 hours of seeing me in like agony, my dad gave me a Super Grover, like snuck me a Super Grover.
Whoa.
And like
Homer with the pizza?
Right, exactly. And it was like a lifeline to have the Super Grover.
Wow. Interesting. Wow. So that's why you're bonded to him.
Yeah.
Because he saved you.
He's also Jewish. He is.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Canonically, that's true.
Uh-huh.
don't think I realized that.
Mm-hmm. And he's a Jewish superhero as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As is the Count, which I have some weird feelings about.
I see. Oh, yeah, sure. The Count is canonically Jewish?
He is canonically Jewish.
Wow,
where
really?
Is all this established?
I knew Grover, but I didn't know the Count.
I don't know. It's in the Sesame Street. There are Jewish books where it like specifies that they're Jewish. And it's like, I think, kind of consistent. I think that in the show, when they would have like a Hanukkah episode, they're Jewish.
When you cut to a Hanukkah party, that's who's there.
That's who's there.
Two of them.
Count is there, counting his money.
That's the issue, yes. Having a perfect handle on everything you got.
Those are the Jewish. Those are the Jewish Sesame Street characters.
And of course, Bert and Ernie. Bert is Episcopalian and Ernie is Methodist. And that's where a lot of the friction comes from. Small differences, you know?
That was the underlying thing in all the old sketches.
That's right. Protestant strife.
I have not, obviously, watched. There's a lot of childish things in my life. I have not watched a full Sesame Street.
Yeah, I'll say it would be insane to do that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm not going to say you should do it. It's just a thing. You don't, like, it's a pick your poison with the kids' entertainment. And, like, well, it's a good poison. You always have the option, of course, of the Elmo Not Too Late talk show on HBO Max, mm-hmm. where Elmo hangs out with Lil Nas X.
Okay, sure.
And John Mulaney, and, you could...
I could watch that, yeah.
Elmo's friend, Lil Nas X!
I mean, that's pretty... That's great to see. They have a lot of fun together. So give that a go. And you know what? They get, like, is his sidekick Ernie, or is Ernie, like, does Ernie work there? Like, they fit everybody in. There's sort of a Larry Sanders component. You see people in the booth.
Is Ernie
the
like
stage managers?
Bert would be like a good Artie. Like a Larry Sanders.
Yeah. Fred DeCordova.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, like, Gelman on Regency. I have to really quickly correct something. I don't know that I've ever gotten so many corrections for an error I made on the podcast, The Ride. But on Patreon, and I apologize, this is only on Patreon, I incorrectly said that Green Day's venue and street that they played in was Gelman Street. I think plus 10. 10 people told me it is not Gelman Street. It is Gilman Street, you idiot. Gelman is the producer on Regis and Kathy Lee, or whatever
that's now.
That's
a bad mistake.
And so I'd like to apologize formally for getting the name of the venue/street, which I think I'm maybe getting that wrong, too.
And I'd like to apologize for any of this ever... coming up for any Green Day content being in this theme park podcast.
Green Day blew the doors wide open with everyone, and they're like, Scott doesn't like American Idiot. That was a whole big thing.
I've been following.
Oh, okay. So you know all the controversy.
Yeah, no,
I see. Okay,
but you didn't text about it. You weren't like worried about us and if we aren't getting along anymore because
I think
Green
I texted
Day.
Carlson privately and said that you're crazy. That Green Day is great.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're pro Green Day.
Oh, I'm getting out of here. All right. Then why'd I agree to have you on? I knew that.
Okay, well, that's why I kept it to myself.
The Susser ban is instated.
A few other things I wanted to touch on in the park, if that's okay.
Of course, yeah,
please.
Go ahead.
So, the food options. Fun thing, we got soft pretzel, Elmo soft pretzel that looks like Elmo. That's great.
Yeah.
Very good.
I wish there were more stuff like that, but happy to see that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then, the food is, like, pretty... Like, I mentioned that the foodie truck was closed, and then, like, the dining options, pretty, like, sparse, like, hamburger, you know... chicken fingers, mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what you get. But my wife's a vegetarian, and she said, whoa, look at this. They have Impossible meat. They have an Impossible burger, and there's an Impossible meatball sub. So that's good. You know, that's like a not have to worry about that. She can eat. And so I went in to order the food, and I was like, I have a hamburger. They didn't see it on the menu, but I was like, I'll have a hamburger. And do you have... an Impossible burger? And this is the reaction from the person. let me check. They leave. They come back and they're like, yeah, we have them, but it'll take like 10 minutes. And I said, that's okay. That's fine. Okay, I'll call you when it's ready. Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
So, way more than 10 minutes. Fine. I'm just like.
You were being punished.
Yes. I finally, at like 15 minutes, I just want to make sure, like, the Impossible Burger, like, yeah, we're working on it. And then,
we called a
and then somebody
in.
Walks by. This is like the comedy part. Like another, like, you know, looked like visiting Sesame Place from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Hipstery kind of dad hears it. And he's like, oh, you guys have Impossible Burgers? And I was like, yeah, we do. They take 10 minutes. So.
I looked at a lot of the menus, and a lot of the places have
Impossible Burgers. Clearly, they're not being ordered.
Like buffalo cauliflower.
Yeah,
and like
these things are not being ordered.
I guess.
So,
yeah.
Don't put them on if you're good. Yeah. So make a big face.
Are they probably? They're probably like frozen because they're not in rotation a lot.
Right.
So it's a huge to do.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't seem like that big of a to do. I had the whole thing. I'm like, yeah, I know they're frozen. It'll just take a little bit longer.
Unless it's further than that, and forgive me if I've said this on the show, but at that Knott's Chicken Dinner restaurant, there was some occasion where my wife ordered something pretty heavily vegetarian, and the person froze. The waitress, like, and they had never encountered this before at the chicken restaurant. So, like, absolutely, that will be fine. And then it took so long to come, and we are very sure that somebody had to make a trip to the store for ingredients for this.
Well,
we're
maybe
positive.
You know,
that's
the other
happened.
Funny thing about Sesame Place. Like, it just is like, it's on one side, and then like across the street is just like a mini mall with like a Best Buy and like a Sports Authority and maybe a grocery store. So maybe it was just like, just we got to get there. Do they have the Impossible Burgers here?
It's time for an intern to shine.
Yes. Other gripe to bring up. Jason, I think you'll be right here with me. So okay. There's a big water park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And they have like lockers and stuff so you can put your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think a locker at Sesame Place?
I saw this. I did see this. Go ahead. Yeah, I saw it.
So we didn't do a lot of the water stuff, but we were going to do the Lazy River. Mm-hmm. And we were just kind of unsure. We were like, oh, like I did it once with my daughter. And then James said, oh, let's all do it. Can you go put the stuff in the locker and we'll go around twice for like 10 minutes? And I said, you know, we can probably just leave. Like, people aren't going to, like, there are a million strollers out. Like,
right.
Are people really going to run by? But I was like, fine, I'll do it. I get to the lockers, $35 for a locker.
Wow.
For in no amount of, like, you can't, like, do it for a period of time. It's just, like,
that's
flat
the whole,
rate.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And it's also not a huge locker. So it, like, really only is for, like, a backpack.
No, so. The bigger lockers are more. And also,
what?
Like,
how
summer.
$45, and then
yeah.
I think it even goes up from there.
Gasp.
And I was looking at ticket prices. I remember it's like, oh, one thing I remember at Sesame Place is it was always pretty affordable.
Well,
and there's a lot of hotels that do discounts in the area. There's a lot of deals in the area. So you can usually find discount tickets. But, like, summer tickets seem to be, on average, like, $40.
Yeah.
So that locker is just under ticket price.
Yes. The price of Sesame Place is $90, but it's, like, always on, it's never $90.
Yeah.
It's always, like, you can always get a discounted ticket for, like, half price.
Okay.
So Sesame Place is, like, $40, $45.
Right.
But then the locker is the same price as going. It's insane.
Yeah. Prices seem to go up for the Halloween and Christmas stuff because the park operations, it's like it's open all summer, rides and water park, and then it continues on the weekends in September and it continues in Halloween time, some weekdays and weekends for like the Count's Halloween event, and then there's Furry Christmas, I think they call it. Very Furry Christmas is the name.
A lot of people show up too and are very disappointed
kind of
by
confused.
What they find.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this isn't what they said.
And so
there's only one furry here.
Yeah, but I don't remember if they did that when I was a kid or not, because they didn't have like many rides of anything to open at Christmas and Halloween.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also, too, which I didn't remember from being a kid, have like a whole like carnival rides kind of section.
Oh, games where you win a prize. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you play?
Yeah, I did. Which was also my daughter's first time ever seeing something like that. And just the idea of like you do it and you get something was like.
Yeah, that's
that was great.
Oh, great.
That's did she play at all?
Did she play? Yeah, kind of. I mean, with me assisting.
I see. Was it like the water squirting thing? Yeah, or okay, yeah, that's bad. It. Have I told the story in the podcast where I accidentally beat a bunch of kids on the pier, Santa Monica Pier, and won a Homer Simpson doll?
That's great.
At what age?
29. Like, I was like, oh, game, I want to go sit down and play, and I played, and then I looked to my right after I won, and I was like, I think I just beat a bunch of kids.
Like, all you didn't realize it was a competition.
So now I have a new rule with that where I have to be sitting first at a game. And then if the parents see there's an older kid
then
there,
it's on them.
Then it's on them.
And maybe their kids
an
are sharp.
Older kid.
That's how
maybe
I think of
their
myself.
Kids are, you know.
That's right. They're sending their kids into the fire if they see me playing. But I'm not going to
so
go
you're
there.
Staring up against.
If there's a bunch of kids. I'm not going
to
do that anymore.
I like to scope those things out. And if there's really, it's really empty, like, can I be a player of one? Can I guarantee myself
well,
a prize?
But then you get a smaller prize.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the right way to scope is like see like a bunch of kids.
A
or,
bunch of kids, yeah.
You know,
the littlest kids possible playing, and then you got one seat left and you sneak right in and you beat all of them. That's the way to do it. You got to get ruthless, Jason. You're going to get like a little like decoder ring or a little one of those really cheap prizes. It's usually like not the IP also. Is when it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a small, you'll see like, oh, it's a bunch of Simpsons things.
Right.
And then like the thing you get if it's only one player or two players is like, oh, it's like a generic bird or something.
Yeah.
Like a plush
so
bird.
Yeah, from like 99 cent store.
Right. Gotcha. It's not the same way maybe at Universal, but like on the pier, they always put the attractive IP prizes and they're giant. Yeah. And yeah, you have to have a full, like a packed house playing to get those prizes.
I played a game at Knott's back at the Christmas Food Festival with the pick, like the duck game. And like the
pick up a duck.
Up a duck. And I really, similarly to what I said I did with the, I appreciated this setup. They're like, okay, you're guaranteed to win a prize. $5, you can pick one of these. $10, you can pick one of these. And I was like, so I'm just buying a stuffed animal? And they're like, yeah, but you have to play the game. And I'm like, all right, fair enough.
But it sounds like that's what you want to do anyway.
Kind of, yeah.
Because you don't want to play, you don't want to be playing against anyone. So you
I was a little disappointed when I walked in a gift shop and I was like, oh, well, there's that little Snoopy. I didn't realize, I thought they were maybe a little more exclusive to the prize bins.
You should go inside a dollar store and have a little bucket of water with a duck and pick the duck up and then buy yourself something nice.
You know, that's a good idea. Yeah, some limited run cereal that they're just trying to clear stock
yeah,
out of.
Yeah, old vitamins.
Old Flintstone I play carnival vitamins. Games at home and give myself...
give yourself a little prize. Nothing wrong with it.
Fresh treats, bakery treats is the prize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were you going to say something?
Yes. Mike, before we did this, I asked you to remind me about something.
Oh, yeah, I haven't reminded you.
You haven't reminded me.
Mm. So what's the time? Yeah, go for it.
I reminded myself.
Okay, well, I'm going to set this up, though, the way you did it. You said, remind me on the podcast. And I said, what? And you said, I'll know.
And not to backtrack too much, but also, you specifically texted about me not liking Green Day?
Reality?
This is an exchange. Like, I better go out of my way. To talk about Scott and Green
Day.
Well,
I mean, surely, you know, the early albums you could appreciate. No, I'm kidding.
Appreciate. Yeah, yes.
We'll sit down and we'll listen to the whole catalog together.
Yeah, we're going to record it. He's going to have to listen to American Idiot.
Okay.
Watch the Broadway show.
So there is this thing that also happened while I was at Sesame Place that I don't think is representative of Sesame Place.
Okay.
Oh.
And in fact, I would like
Look,
this to not
be keep track
the-
of what all their employees were doing on January 6th. Yes. Okay, you know.
Well, I would like for this not to be in the podcast. So I would like to tell you this story, and then maybe you could play Moves Like Bert, and then you'll pick up just on your reaction to the story.
Hang on, wait a minute. Wait, how close can you get us? This is entirely bleeped.
I love you calling this shot. I love this.
Well,
this is an interesting
move. You can hear the story, and if you guys think that it should be included, I maybe leave it to you to do it.
Okay.
But I think when I tell you the story, you might all decide that I've made the right decision.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting.
So the listener is really teetering on something. You might hear an interesting story, or you might just hear a full block of Moves Like Bert.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Wow. What's around the bend?
Wow. I don't
Let's
know.
Let's see.
Have a great day at Sesame Place. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. Only good feelings about it. We're about to leave, and I decide to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Walk into the bathroom, and I see that there's kind of a bathroom attendant person mm-hmm. who seems to be. Has a...
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Go in the bathroom, and the conversation with the... appears to be getting... And I, it's only me in the bathroom and this man.
Okay.
And he,
Okay.
And then I'm just going to the bathroom. This is happening. And then there appears to be. And then I leave. And that's the end of the story.
Okay.
Can you edit the master recording? Like, just edit.
You want me to edit this
just
live?
Just edit everything.
Out.
Yeah.
You want me to edit that live out?
You want this to be scrubbed from your brain? From
yes,
heard.
I think. Yeah.
You want the
yeah. I want the
sunshine.
Eternal sunshine.
Yeah.
But now you've heard the story. I don't think it's representative of Sesame Place. I also
I
am
can't
very,
imagine that I'm not there every day.
I'm very sympathetic, actually.
Sure, yeah.
To the situation, and I haven't really told many people it. Understandably,
uh-huh, yeah.
I think.
Uh-huh.
But I any... felt like I had to tell the three of you.
Right. Thank
yeah.
you for telling us that.
Do you feel scandalized? How are you feeling?
How do I feel? I feel fine. Mm-hmm. It's an odd story. It's an awkward situation.
Do you feel like my proposed idea is a good way of handling it?
I feel like now I'm in show energy and I need to come down from that. And then I have to assess
make
once
that
show energy is
we'll,
over.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
I'm a different guy.
We'll
on
review
the, show.
The tapes.
We have to review the tapes.
The
and
brain
then,
trust will meet.
It feels pretty clear to me that the preference from the three of you would have been not tell the story and include it, not tell the story and just play over it. You would have preferred if I just never told you the story.
Oh, that's a good question, too.
Oh, I enjoyed the story.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked the story.
I liked hearing it. I almost wish that there was you had more. Are you sure that this is not... I don't know how to ask this if we're editing
yeah.
part of it, but is this a situation where... All right, this was a story that happened in the bathroom, and you thought you understood what was happening in a different stall. But remember, this also happened to a guy... It was to Tom Arnold, a gambler in a casino in the film Austin Powers International Man of Mystery, where he thought he was hearing in the other stall is not what was happening at all. So maybe
I can say
a
with
big
confidence
struggle
that,
happening.
That's not the case.
It was okay. not some involved with double entendres and misleads. Yeah.
I guess, you know what? I'm saying I'm confident, but I guess I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. It could have been like some sort of immersive performance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Located
okay.
entirely uh-huh. within a Sesame Street
yeah.
bathroom.
Okay.
Is there a version of this where there's fits and starts of what we play? And
maybe.
Just, and it's like a radio dial is changing,
right.
and if you hear a little zoom, like, burr.
Or maybe,
I got
you know,
this.
A Patreon episode is just that disturbing little story.
Well, that'll launch our extra tier. That's more
oh.
money.
Which is kind of about, like, you know, shame and horror.
That's right. The shame tier for
and
us.
And me having to listen to Green Day. It's where all of the worst shit goes. So
the
maybe
gummo
be...
tier. Yeah.
Gummo tier. yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, we're again with this show. I'm in show mode right now, and I am going to have to be in like editor mode later. So
right.
we're going to have to assess there. I'm not going to be able to
can,
truly.
Can I
think.
Tell a Green Day story?
Yeah, go ahead.
So
now this one, I'm going to wish I hadn't heard this. I want the Eternal Sunshine on
this
before
this.
I've even heard it.
Now I'm going to, now I'm like completely blanking as I bring it up. But anyway, when it was my bar mitzvah, we were looking at a band to play at my bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a band that was like the cool band to play. And they played a Green Day song in like their like video.
Mm. And, oh, on yeah, to hire them.
Well, like the hire them.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And the... now this is where I was like mad at myself because it's like their most iconic early song. Basket Case.
Yeah,
Basket Case.
Do you have the time to listen to me? Yeah.
And I saw that, and we were moving forward, and this is like very much, I thought you guys would appreciate it as good boys, because I'm 13 years old. This is so embarrassing. But I was thinking it was my bar mitzvah, and I was so worried because there's a line in that song that's like, I went to a whore
yeah.
who said my life's a bore.
Right.
And I was just imagining they're going to play this at my bar mitzvah in front of my grandparents, mm-hmm. in front of my, and also I have seen the tape. I'm like, my parents, like, they don't know what Green Day is. They don't know about Basket Case. I'm like signing off on this band.
The police are coming to Steven with this being dredged up today.
I'm signing off on this band, and it's going to scandalize my bar mitzvah. I like was like losing sleep over this. So I knocked on my parents' bedroom door at which in my memory at 2 a.m. probably like 11 p.m. And I just said, I know that you're maybe moving forward with this band, but like we have an issue. And I laid the whole thing out, and I'm like, so I don't know if we can get a different band at this point, or maybe just a DJ, or maybe, and they're just like, wait, you don't want them to play the song? Okay, we'll just tell them not to play the song. Like, okay, thank you.
Well, so that was not it. On the table for you? That there was just an option to just not play that particular song?
I don't know why I didn't. Yes, well, because honestly, I mean, it was the same. This bar, I'll say maybe I was a stupid kid. In the same way that you couldn't go to the real Green Day, mm-hmm. and say, hey, you're not playing Basket Case tonight.
Mm, right.
I thought that this bar mitzvah band
like they had a rider
would be equally offended and choose to walk and was equally
you would be like
the song that got us here.
Yeah.
You're like Ed Sullivan telling the Rolling Stones to change the lyrics.
Right,
to the song.
Exactly. I thought that they would walk. I thought that Fancy Pants would say,
listen,
no,
here,
thank you.
Susser, you became a man today. That means we can kick your ass for talking to us like this.
Wow, that's so great.
So you thought that just that line is that it's sort of like a movie where then everything, like, there's like sudden distortion and everything goes quiet and everyone stares at the band and then everyone stares at you.
Yes.
And then everyone either files out or starts hurling insults or like relatives cry. How could you do this to us?
Yeah, I think truly that is what I thought would happen.
Like your grandparents are like hanging on every word of the song, yes. which is like fast. And like if they're singing it like Billy Joe, it's like a faux British accent that you can barely understand.
Yeah. And they're loving it up till that point. Uh-huh. Your grandparents love it so much.
Right. And I think I also too was like taking a, like, of course, like I had no say really vote on like what the bar mitzvah band was. But I felt like the pressure that like my parents have included me in this decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there like signing off on this. And I have this information. And yeah, the shame that it would mm-hmm. bring to my family and to me, it truly was very
excommunicated from the religion.
Yes.
Yeah, the only way this all could have been better is if you went and consulted with a rabbi.
Right. I mean, that would have been good.
There's a heavy toll on me today.
Lyric printed out, Dookie CD, excuse me, rabbi.
I mean, this is like, Scott, I mean, like, your, you know, crazy version of it is pretty close to what I imagine. I truly like was going through the guest list and imagining
each one of them.
Person's reaction to this scandalized lyric.
She would be okay with it. Would hate it. Mm-hmm. He'll be mad at me.
Right. And again, me thinking that Green Day was this super cool underground thing that only me as a 13-year-old in you know, Montgomery County, Maryland was the only one who was like hip to.
What is this song you found?
Yes. like probably the number one song on the Billboard like chart at the time.
It's on the radio uncensored, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Maybe it depends on where you were, but
like your parents were about to hire Gigi Allen. He's gonna take a shit on stage at the bar mitzvah.
Uh-huh.
Like, we have a big problem here.
Problem.
You don't know what this man does, and I didn't tell you.
And now the Bar Mitzvah Boys' favorite group.
Uh-huh.
He endorses every word in the song.
If we had just watched Sesame Street for just a couple more years, would it have dealt with any sort of developed neuroses like that? Like, if we had just gotten a few more years of polite, nice entertainment, maybe.
Yeah. The many issues of, like, when you're booking a bar mitzvah band,
hey, it's okay. It's probably not a problem.
Set lists can change.
I'm trying to find out if Green Day's been on Sesame Street. That's why I'm looking.
That
at
seems very possible.
Very possible.
Sort of a rite of passage.
I don't think they have.
They're on the. They were on the Simpsons on the grandest stage of all, the movie.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yes, the high point of the Simpsons. We know the movie. Yeah, got it.
yes. Yeah. Let me say here's a little like. Let me go back into like founding of this place because I remember I'm like, you know, I didn't grow up there because I'm on the other side of the country. And I remember it being it was clear to me like, all right, maybe in my life, if I'm lucky, I could go to Disney World.
Right.
But maybe. But I don't think that a trip to Pennsylvania specifically for this is on the table. I think my parents did kind of say like, well, that's a maybe, I don't know, we'll see. Uh-huh. As much as I would have liked, like knowing there was a tangible Sesame Street place, so it always just kind of lived in my imagination. And I don't know if they ever talked about it on the show or showed a picture of it or what how I was even aware of it, but the vibe that I always got in those early days, now it's pretty aligned with like bright, happy current Sesame Street, but like I just remember it being very like, it's that early 80s brown, the dull kind of muted vibe that I'm sort of obsessed with now. But if you watch any old video of it, I don't know if anybody did, but like it seemed just like the most kind of gentle, still place, and that was not even ride centric. Jason, what you were saying about how it's like the acreage expanded, it was like pretty small and modest.
Yeah.
And the characters are represented, there were these animatronics, I guess, but mainly it seems like you took an escalator into Big Bird's mouth, and he's still represented kind of abstractly, and it feels very early 80s. It's not on brand. It's like it's just sort of odd minimalist Big Bird. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm saying all this to say like the vibe that I get of original Sesame Place is like it's not about rides and characters as much as these like. You climb up a vinyl pyramid. You
yes.
know what I mean? Like do you like, remember? Right. Was this your memory? And your
yeah,
like,
I mean, there is some. One of the things that I remembered, I think I texted Jason, it like these like tree sculptures of the characters.
Oh, like topiary. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not right. You get some Big Bird, which is like cool, but also, yeah, I think that kind of like what you want is. It's the street, and the characters are all around and all of that kind of stuff. And, like, a dark ride that, like, feels like you're, like, going into Bert and Ernie's, like, apartment or something
some
like that.
Madcap chase or somewhere.
It doesn't really deliver
no.
in all of that kind of way, but it's still... It's kind of nice because, you know, I don't know if you guys have had... If you had similar experiences. Like, when I went to Disney World as the first time, I, like, didn't sleep for... 2 days straight because I was just so like overstimulated.
Sure. Yeah,
yeah. Sesame Place is good because there's just not too much going on. And
no one's ever built it up. Nobody's ever said, my parents notably, as I was saying all that, did not say, there's the greatest place in the world and it is in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And you would not, boy, someday. So like, it's never been built up. You didn't build it up too much.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I think that it would seem crazy to me to fly from like California to go to Sesame Place. It's like a good like regional theme park that you know, if you're on the East Coast, even like the Midwest, I could imagine if you're like, oh, we'll go to Philadelphia and also like make a day of going to Sesame, like that doesn't seem crazy, but to get on a plane to go to Sesame Place, that seems a little much.
It reminds me of when we had Mookie on and we're talking about the New Hampshire theme parks, the park Storyland, one of the executives or one of the people who run it described the park in the way that the park, how many hours to allow for the park? Well, the park usually outlasts the kids, meaning like the kids are going to tap out before you run out of rides. And that definitely seems like the vibe of Sesame Place where like, yeah, you can get 2, maybe 4 hours max if you're taking real little kids who are going to, you know, run towards the characters as soon as they see them, you know?
And burn out a lot then. And then if anything has a line or anything has a weight, you're going to lose them big time.
Yeah. I saw one tip about this park. A YouTuber who did, like, you know, 20 tips for Sesame Place said, don't do the water rides first. Do the regular rides first. Do the water rides in the afternoon or later afternoon, because everyone else usually does it the other way. They go to the water rides when it's bright and sunny in the morning.
Okay.
But usually sometimes the crowd shifts, it seems like.
And you did not do water rides.
We only did, maybe we watched the same video. We took that advice, but then it was like cold in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
And then we're like, well, and the lines were never that bad. So we did the Lazy River, and then a lot of the other, unfortunately, like I think either because of COVID and they don't want to risk of it, but I think more likely just being understaffed and underserviced. Like there's like a fun sprinkler area that they just didn't have open.
Yeah, right.
Which would have been fun. Yeah. And then they had water slides with tubes and stuff, which our daughter's not gonna go on that.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So we just didn't do a ton of the water stuff. But the Lazy River was fun.
Sure.
I was starting to say all that to say the vibe that I always got from the place, this really is, it always felt like gentle and about like foam and like you're going through those punching bags that you run through or like ropes courses or the nets that you climb and everything and ball pits and stuff. And it always felt very, for some reason, it felt really Canadian to me. Like all the footage of it felt like so like sleepy and brown and just nice. And you can tell this is not a hyperactive place. It's just kind of like, and it looks pleasant, muted color, forest greens and browns. So then I was looking up the guy who founded it, but the guy who designed the park initially, Eric McMillan is the name. And it turns out this guy was a British guy, a sort of a fastidious John Cleese type, apparently, who moved to Canada and did installations for
cancel culture now.
don't look at the tweets. I don't know why he's doing it. This guy did installations for like Canadian World's Fairs and Expos and the kinds of things that I get such a pleasant
smell from those old.
I just always had the vibe right. There's a thing up in Toronto called Ontario Place that was like a big kids area and it has like a very Epcot-y dome where they showed IMAX stuff. And he designed that and that was such a hit. I guess this guy is credited with kind of reinventing what kids' play areas were. He's called the sort of creepy phrase "father of soft play." He's considered
very creepy.
If you want to redact that one too, we could take out "father of soft play." But anyway, just the crazy thing is he liked this like kind of abstract design, like just places that are visually stimulating, and that seemed like the point of it more is like here's little challenges for kids and weird environments for them to be in, among which apparently in the 70s when this guy's building different places, he what I'm getting at is I think this guy invented the ball pit.
What?
The guy who designed the initial plans of Sesame Place, initially called a ball crawl.
Wow.
But this, did not exist. Like, the guy, he was looking at, like a jar of pickles or something. It was tightly packed. And he said, what if a kid could dive through something like this? And it's not just it's not being in a pool. It's solids, but you're in a pool of solids, basically.
But it's definitely pickles. And
and then they tried to fill up a big thing with pickles, and they gave it again. Just really, they couldn't replenish.
Jason is furiously scribbling down notes now.
Pickle pool.
How can I make this happen?
My memory of it as a kid is, I don't know if this was here in Disneyland or if it was in Florida. You know the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids land?
The Playland.
Playland.
In Florida, yeah.
That was kind of the closest Disney thing. The vibe of Sesame Place. Today.
Those smells, the soft
and just
padding
like,
everywhere.
Oh, it's interesting. And like interesting things to look at and to crawl around and to play.
Yeah, yeah. With this ball pit thing, then what I realized, because I saw a sign that said something like this when I was down in the Sesame Street area in San Diego, and it turns out what now is called the Sesame Street Bay of Play, it was this thing that this guy designed called Captain Kids, much like the oft-referenced weird buffet that is closed
on Harbor Boulevard
in Anaheim. But that place where I was, this what is now Sesame Street Place, was the site of the first ball pit ever in the world.
Whoa!
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was there, and I even noted, I said in the episode, there was a thing that seemed like all it was is like five pieces of foam that some mean brothers were playing with. I think what that was at one point in time was the first ball pit ever.
Wow.
So that's all kind of a mind blow to me. But also that
ball pits didn't exist until the 70s.
That
I guess if you think about it, it is kind of a psychedelic thing in a way. It's sort of a heady, trippy thing to do. But like, I would never have guessed that ball pits are that recent of an invention.
It makes sense now that you're saying it, but I never even thought about it. Because, like, I don't think there's... I've seen some 60s footage of kids playing in a bunch of plastic balls.
No, I guess
not. It just kind of became ubiquitous so fast.
And the rise of Chuck E. Cheese.
And grew and grew. And something else in this park I noticed that's come up when we've done smaller parks or regional parks before... it seems like Dippin' Dots has cornered the market. Like every mid-size or smaller or kind of smaller theme park,
non-Disney Universal,
and not that Universal. I think sometimes has Dippin' Dots, but the smaller parks, there's always a Dippin' Dots stand. And I remember, like at the Jersey Shore, like them giving out samples of that when I was a kid, and they're like pitching, they're explaining it. This is hard. These are little ice cream dots. It's frozen. It's colder than ice cream. It's the ice cream of the future. Like, you know, and that, and then it was everywhere very quickly.
Yeah.
Do you think a Sirius radio or a Sirius XM or whatever, like they basically, the only reason they're around is because they meet deals with like car makers and they like force you to like listen to it. Like, that's how they've been able to survive. You think it's a similar situation where nobody really likes Dippin' Dots?
Just convenience of, like, the satellite radio is in your car.
Deal with a bunch of companies, and then that's really where they're surviving off that, just, like, that money that they're getting every year.
Probably.
They made,
possibly.
A 50-year contract.
I think they definitely make money on people forgetting they have the service. A lot of these build every month services
Can I ask a sincere question? Were you, when we were talking about the balls, were you thinking of, this is a good connection because these are littler, colorful balls?
No, I wish. I mean, maybe subconsciously I was.
Because honestly, it was like, I was like, where does this transition? Oh, they're like littler balls.
I just remember as a kid going to amusement parks and theme parks and the ball pits just getting bigger and bigger and more elaborate and more like,
and
just
now
more
it's
of them.
It's kind of gone the other way. Now I have like a personal little ball pit for my daughter, which is like, which when I was a kid, I was like, I don't think people really had that.
No,
yeah,
now
I'm
it's
mad
just,
I
now
didn't
now it's like an easy thing that like most people I know have. It's not like a huge thing. It's just like it folds out and you throw in balls and it's like okay.
But how often do you see a big sprawling ball pit? Those are kind of out of fashion.
Yeah,
Disneyland completely stopped doing them. Due to
pooping and fights and I mean, does anybody not like a ball pit from their childhood? I was obsessed.
I was obsessed with it.
Yeah. There was this place. This kind of maybe it's kind of like Discovery Zone. Did you guys have that?
100%. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
We, in high school, this is nuts that this was allowed. They would allow, I guess at night you could just rent it out. Like as adult, as like older kids.
Yes.
And this is dorky, but my male Jewish youth group rented it out. And this is... And it had been, I guess what we would do in the Discovery Zone was just have like fake wrestling matches.
Of course, yeah.
It's like foam and bubbles.
Yeah.
And two of my, this was one of the best things I ever witnessed in high school, was two of my friends, like they had been building up that they were going to wrestle each other.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they're going to have this big thing at like the Discovery Zone like event. It was my friend Jonah and my friend Ben, and Jonah shows up first, and he's like, he has like a, he bought like a novelty belt that he was like the champion, and then and he was like all like, it's on, like, you know, music or something. He was really ready. Ben shows up and he has crutches and he's like, I'm sorry, I like twisted my ankle, I can't do it, like I'm just here to hang. And everyone was kind of bummed, but I was like, oh, it happens. The whole night goes by, and we have fun. We, like, goof around, whatever. Everybody's leaving, and he takes the crutches and knocks Jonah into the ball pit and just jumps on him.
Whoa!
It was the best thing I think I had ever witnessed.
Wow.
And I was delighted by it.
Yeah, it's great. There's no... Yeah, no, that's incredible.
But now being back on it,
playing a part.
Yes, it's insane that they just were like, yeah, like this is like a kid's play zone in the morning. But yeah, if you like, you know, this group of like 17-year-old Jewish boys want to beat each other up, sure, go nuts,
just wail on each in front of a
do an angle.
Sticks.
Yeah, do an angle.
If they want to do an angle later,
a trick.
Oh God, that's great.
And then, backing up to Dippin' Dots, I tweeted about this, so maybe you guys saw, but I, not at Sesame Place, at the zoo, there was a Dippin' Dots stand where I got Dippin' Dots for my daughter because it was just like, oh, this is something fun, I guess. I don't know. She didn't really seem to care for it too much. But then
nobody does.
The woman in front of me in line, the funniest special request I've ever heard in my life was, do you have any of the ice cream without the dots? Which was completely perplexing to the people there. They're like, this is the whole thing.
Well, ma'am, if you leave them in the sun for like 20 seconds, you're gonna have regular ice cream.
She just thought there were dots on regular ice cream, I assume. Right.
Yes, okay. I think that's what she thought. She thought that it was like the topping.
Right, the dots were the topping.
Yeah.
I guess a Dippin' Dots without dots, you could call impossible dots.
Yes.
Oh, you guys got impossible dots? Let's start winding it down here, I suppose. Do we miss anything from your childhoods? Any odd factoids? Any ways to make this place better? Are there plus ups? I mean, clearly dark rides and stuff would be great.
It really deserves a fully like thought out, and I don't mean it in a scary, dark, twisted way, but a Horror Nights style maze. That's really what it, like a fully immersive, you start out on the street and then you go in and there's rooms with the characters. You have interactions with all of them. There's things you've seen on the show. I don't know what like locations they have on the show anymore, because I would say, oh, it's like with Grover and the waiter and stuff. But that's obviously kids that they don't, maybe one for the parents at the end like that. But like you go through and there'd be different experiences like that. And the thing would be like 45 minutes. I feel like you could double the amount of money you charge maybe. And like that probably the kid would come away and saying like, was your brother that one said, this is the greatest day of my life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something interesting that I forgot to mention, no televisions in the park. So there's no actual Sesame Street.
Interesting.
Huh. And that it's not, they aren't just like lazily showing episodes or movies somewhere.
That's kind of nice. Yeah. The one big thing we didn't mention, the Sesame Place, the first theme park in the world designated as a certified autism center.
Yeah.
So all the employees receive training on sensory awareness and social skills. There's quiet rooms, there's sensory guides that guests can get, noise-canceling headphones for auditory sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's nice. I just think that's a great thing that they, you know, went out of the way and did.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's a cool move to make and to realize that you could do. And that's going to be true of the other one, I believe.
I think so. Funny thing about the other one. So Sesame Place is opening in San Diego. It's taking over the Aquatica water park, which itself took over a not Soak City. This is multiple generations of water parks. I think Jane brought it up, but I looked it up and she said, is Aquatica next to SeaWorld? And I was like, oh no, it's about 23 miles away. Because they just took over an existing theme park.
It's like way more south, like much closer to the Mexico border.
Yeah. But one of the posts I saw about it, so it was supposed to open 2021. Obviously, construction delays kind of happened everywhere. Because in the contract, it said this park will open in 2021. Because it has not, on paper, SeaWorld may technically owe Sesame Workshop something like $2,000 a day.
Whoa. Until it opens?
Until it opens. The person commenting on this from SeaWorld was like, we're hoping to work something out. Because $2,000 times 365, yeah, that starts to really add up.
Wow.
2,000. Ha, ha, ha. 4,000.
Wow.
Yikes.
Well, that's what happens when the other side has Grover and Count doing the contracts.
They picked the right people.
Picked the right Muppets. Yeah. I mean, where do you go from there? That's, you know what, I think you Evan Sessler, you survived podcast the ride.
It was great to be
Thanks
here, guys.
So much. Thank that was
for,
a blast.
Thanks for having me.
Let's exit through the gift shop. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
No. At Evan Sessler on Twitter, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It was recently hacked, but I got my Twitter account back.
Oh, yeah, you were hacked.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's weird. Yeah. You're on Doughboys. You can.
Yeah, I'm on Doughboys.
Yeah.
We'll be around for something.
Well, if you like this, you'll find more stuff from me.
Mm. You'll do a Google.
Yeah, do a Google. I'm doing some of this like game stuff where I'm, you know, making them come to me.
That's good. Yeah. It's like, make them work for it.
But not you came directly to us, which
yes, I
appreciate.
Directly to you guys,
I think you did.
Love the podcast, and I wanted to be back on, talk about Sesame Place with you, and see you guys again.
Well,
and we did it. We did the full day tonight. Mm-hmm. Now it's just a nice summer evening. I hope nobody's getting too bit.
Once I put the spray on my legs, I'm doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
And then Evan Susser and I actually just ate at the Jurassic Cafe not long ago, so maybe we can come back and talk about that sometime.
Oh yeah, we did eat at the Jurassic Cafe.
Wait, you just came from
not today?
Not today.
Like,
yeah. Uh-huh. I was gonna meet him up at City Walk, and I go, you know, because we both have passes. We could go down and eat in the park.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. We went on no rides.
You only went to the and is that the name of the main restaurant down there? Cafe?
Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, that's correct.
That's great, yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
How'd that function is just a dinner.
I felt sick afterwards.
You felt sick afterward. I felt like, oh, this could go wrong, but then it settled itself out. It was fine. We ate on the top of the Jurassic Cafe. A nice spot, obviously.
I mean, that I love.
Great
yeah,
view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, then we left.
Okay. Well, it seems like we did the episode.
Did we?
Yes. Okay, so you can find us on all the socials at Podcast The Ride. Merch is available in our Tee Public store. And for 3 bonus episodes every month, check out Podcast The Ride, The Second Gate at patreon.com/podcastTheRide. I don't know how much this is going to play. I'll try to post this as a video. But there's, I think, just as a little play out, there's a weird video on YouTube called One Day at Sesame Place that just kind of takes you around, like, all the facets, the employees and the kids and what it's like when it closes. And they show you a little bit of a show. And this is just a really strange moment where the thing that's happening in the show seems to be that Big Bird is trying to say the names of everybody who's in attendance. And that's a tall order for a tall bird. He can't figure out how to do it. But I still don't understand how it jumps to this point where a song starts playing, and just imagine Big Bird pop locking is what's happening here, and then he picks up his pursuit. This one's hard to explain. I'll play it for you guys. It's a little musical way out. This is really odd. So thanks for listening. Bye bye. Audience delighted at pop locking Beverly Hills Cop Big Bird.
I mean, I'm delighted. It's Elmo wearing pants? This is like some piece of abstract video art.
Axel B.
He sounds slowed down.
Yeah. This is like a vapor wave.
It's like E.T. It's E.T. at the end of the world.
Yeah, they stole it from this.
I love that.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.